the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Let's talk about the death of an American icon, a man who was an actor and director, best known as an actor for movies like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, All the President's Men, The Natural and Out of Africa, and as a director for things like Quiz Show and Ordinary People. Here, though, is Robert Redford as the Sundance Kid with Paul Newman as Butch Cassidy in that movie.
Ready?
No, we'll jump.
Like hell we will.
No, it'll be okay.
If the water's deep enough, we don't get squished to death. They'll never follow us.
How do you know?
Would you make a jump like that and you didn't have to?
I have to, and I'm not gonna.
Well, we got to, otherwise we're dead. They're just gonna have to go back down the same way they come. Come on.
Just one clear shot, that's all I want.
Come on. We got to.
Up. Get away from me.
Why?
I want to fight them.
They'll kill us.
Maybe.
You want to die?
Do you?
All right. I'll jump first.
Nope.
Then you jump first.
No, I said.
What's the matter with you?
I can't swim.
Why, are you crazy? The fall will probably kill you.
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. And of course, Robert Redford went on to set up the Sundance Festival for independent movie making. Cal Thomas, your generation, were you a fan or was he too liberal for you?
No. Oh, Matt, I've always been able to separate somebody's politics from their skill. That's why I like you so much. Robert Redford was the only man I knew who was more handsome than you, Matt.
But I thought you were going to say yourself, Cal.
No, not myself. No, but one of the things I really liked about him, if you read his biography, he was fired from all these jobs as a young man. He couldn't even make it as a stock boy in a store, and his father had to help him out because he just appeared to be aimless and not going anywhere. He wanted to be a painter even after he started acting. He didn't really see acting as a career, but it turned out to be his great calling in life. I'm a sucker for baseball movies. I love them all. And I really love The Natural. And that, I think, paralleled a lot of his life. He has been a baseball player who made a comeback and then hits a game-winning home run in the end and knocks out the lights. It was just a great film. But then, of course, The Way We Were, which became a big hit for Barbara Streisand, written by my friend Marvin Hamlisch and his two favorite lyricists. He was just a tremendous actor, and so he's a political liberal, and so he did movies with Jane Fonda, but his talent was wonderful.
Oh, that was a little backhanded dig there at Jane Fonda, was it?
Well, I know Jane Fonda, and we get along fine. We don't talk politics that much, but when we do, we're civil about it. And that's the other thing, Matt. You know, this whole Charlie Kirk thing, and we'll get into it, I guess, in a minute.
We will.
The problem in America today is we only know people by labels. We don't take the time to get them to know them as human beings, as fellow Americans, as fellow citizens. Marion and I get along great. We just did this thing, as you know, at the Kennedy School in New Ross, and we had a vibrant and stimulating debate, but at the end we like each other. I think I can speak for Miriam on that, and we respect each other's talent, and while we may have some different points of view, we get along fine. But we don't have that much in America anymore, with people shouting and screaming at each other from the Republican and the Democrat side. By the way, nobody's got clean hands on this.
We'll get to all that in a moment. A lot of listeners saying Redford was brilliant in The Sting too, a big movie from 1973.
Oh, yes.
And then another one says the Brad Pitt of his day, rest in peace, which Murray McCone, he traded on his good looks, but actually he didn't trade on them either, did he?
No, I think they were just a natural asset that he was born with, and they served him well. But, you know, I'd forgotten all the great films he starred in, like All the President's Men, The Great Gatsby, Out of Africa, The Sting, Butch Cassidy. You forget what a massive sort of body of work he had, and really great taste in films, great taste in the films that he chose to star in. And of course, he started the Sundance Film Festival, and you know, he was, I think he was involved in the Natural Resources Defense Council for decades, probably half a century. And I spoke to people who were involved with that, who were also involved. I was talking to them actually about Bobby Kennedy Jr. and his less, he was less than popular there, I can tell you. But they spoke about Redford as the exemplar, as being like to the council what I think one of them said to me what Audrey Hepburn was to the UN and to UNICEF, like that, like just somebody who was genuine, committed, really passionate about the work, and stayed dedicated throughout his career despite distractions. I think, you know, he was an old school gentleman, wasn't he? He always came across as that, as somebody who was, I think, to call him the Brad Pitt's generation is an insult. I think Brad Pitt's a lot more vacuous, to be quite honest. But I think, and you know, and he and Jane Fonda, who I also think is terrific, and I used to attend her Fire Engine Fridays in Washington, Fire Drill Fridays in Washington, D.C., and to see her in her 80s up there in her red coat, like being passionate about the environment, I think it's terrific, you know. They were, I think they literally were a different generation, you know, and I think he will, you know, he was somebody who was very beloved, I think, whether you were a liberal or a conservative. And Cal, I absolutely second what you said about getting along. We had a terrific time in Wexford. We have a terrific time whenever we meet, and yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, let's move on and let's hear another piece of audio. And this is an exchange between Donald Trump and the CBS News chief White House correspondent Nancy Cordes on why Trump focuses on left-wing rather than right-wing violence.
In retrospect, given all of the moving ways that this White House has paid tribute to Charlie Kirk, right, do you think it would have been fitting to lower the flags to half staff when Melissa Ortman, the Minnesota House Speaker, was gunned down by an assassin as well?
I'm not familiar. The
Minnesota House Speaker, a Democrat, was assassinated this summer.
Well, if the governor had asked me to do that, I would have done that. But the governor of Minnesota didn't ask me. I didn't. I wouldn't have thought of that. But I would have if somebody had asked me. People make requests for the lowering of flag. And oftentimes you have to say no because it would be a lot of lowering. The flag would never be up. Had the governor of Minnesota asked me to do that, I would have done that gladly.
And given the killing of Melissa Ortman, the attack on Paul Pelosi, the attack on Gabby Giffords, the attack on the Pennsylvania governor's mansion, why make the case that violence is only on one side? It seems to be taking
place. I didn't say it's on one side, but I say the radical left causes tremendous violence, and they seem to do it in a bigger way. But the radical left really has caused a lot of problems for this country. I really think they hate our country.
Right, there we are, the uniter in chief. But isn't it the case, Marion McKeown, that he wouldn't talk to the Minnesota governor, Tim Walz, at the time of that shooting?
Yeah, you know, I find listening to this so depressing and disheartening. At the time of the shooting, he said he was asked if he had called Tim Walz, as is customary for any president, if there's a tragic shooting in your state. You know, the House Speaker, she was the House Speaker, was shot dead along with her husband. A state senator was critically injured, as was his wife, by an attacker, a far-right-wing gunman, who had 50 other Democrats on a kill list. Now, he did not even pick up the phone to sympathise with Tim Walz, and when he was asked why he didn't, he said it would have been a waste of time because he's so dismissive and scathing about Tim Walz. So for him to say this now, it's just so disingenuous. There is no monopoly of violence on the left or right. And you know, I remember at the time of Paul Pelosi's attack, when Donald Trump Jr. in the most disgusting post I've ever seen posted on X, as a suggested Halloween outfit, go as Paul Pelosi with a hammer and a pair of boxer shorts, which he was wearing, you know, a pair of box shorts at the time, he was attacked in his bedroom. And you know, I just find it really that all this talk now, you know, and Trump now, by the way, when he says radical left, he means the Democratic Party. And there is no evidence, neither side has a monopoly. There is no evidence that this 22-year-old who was responsible, or who we believe who's being charged with the assassination of Charlie Kirk, there is no evidence that he was part of the Democratic Party or that he was liberal in any way. His parents were registered Republicans. They were a decent religious family. The family appeared very united. You know, he there is as much evidence to suggest that he was aligned with the far extreme right. But, you know, everything is circumstantial. We just don't know. So for Trump and J.D. Vance and all the rest of them to say he was a far left and that this is a reason to crack down on the Democrats and any liberal organisations is frankly just exploitative and terrifying.
Cal, can I start by just saying to you, as and having had the opportunity to do so, that I would find the murder of Charlie Kirk vile and abhorrent, entirely wrong. It also strikes me, though, that it is pretty low and disgusting the way that many people, including people in the Trump administration, have tried to politicise this and have tried to use it to whip up contempt for people for whom with whom they disagree. And also what has been quite shocking is, and ironic given that Charlie Kirk was an advocate for free speech and defended free speech, that anybody who has said anything in response to his death, which is regarded as being somewhat off colour or off limits, is now been cancelled or threatened. I mean, how does that make sense?
Well, several things, Matt. I want to go back, first of all, to the Tim Walz, governor of Minnesota business. Trump didn't ask permission to send federal troops into some of these cities and states with Democratic governors and mayors, so I don't really accept that answer. And I think Nancy Cordes of CNN was good to ask the question. There are too many sycophants now in the press pool. These are people, if you listen to any of these things, they're not real journalists. They're just functionaries and Republicans and right-wingers who toss Trump all of these softball questions. Now to your bigger question, and people get fired and hired for all kinds of reasons. Corporations are private companies. They can hire or dismiss whomever they wish. But I do think that in some cases, the more extreme ones, and I point some out in my column today, and there are plenty of other pieces of evidence on various social media platforms, that when you say that Charlie Kirk deserved to die, or that some of these other vile things that have been said, even by people in public office with public responsibilities, I think there ought to be some accountability on that. And if they are fired or not elected in the next election or not appointed or whatever, I think that is that sends a message that there's certain things that are beyond the pale.
Okay, you say in your column, anyone celebrating Kirk's murder on social media or promoting any violence against anyone should be banned on all platforms for life. This isn't about free speech. It's about incitement. Now, as it happens, the First Amendment doesn't actually stop hate speech. It doesn't stop people saying things that are hateful. It defends free speech. And I wouldn't have any sympathy for anybody who celebrates his murder. As I said, it was vile. It was entirely wrong. But even your own line there, promoting any violence against anyone should be banned on all platforms for life. Well, then, surely Donald Trump should never have been readmitted to any of the social media platforms that banned him after January 6th, 2021, when we remember people lost their lives in Congress because of a right-wing mob.
Well, there was also the attempted assassination of Steve Scalise, one of the House leaders now, Republican, and other Republicans who were warming up for a baseball game, an annual baseball game against Democrats. This guy was a crazy Democrat who wanted to kill Republicans. And look, there's too much of this. We can't go, well, what about this or what about that? I think that there's certain language that, as I said in my column, and thanks for quoting it, that it is incitement. It's like crying fire in a crowded theater when there is no fire. There is certain language that is incendiary and needs to have some accountability to it. Free speech doesn't mean that you can libel somebody. We have libel laws. You can take somebody to court if they libel you. It doesn't mean that you can smear somebody else's character with false accusations. We have laws about that. So free speech doesn't mean 100% free. If it did, none of these things would matter.
Well, I would agree with a lot of that, Cal, but I do think that the likes of J.D. Vance, who has tried to stir things up in Europe, saying that there's been a crackdown in free speech, has shown himself to be an absolute and utter hypocrite in regard to all of this. And Marion, why is it that people who actually have tried to bring up things like this is a fault with the easy accessibility to guns are also now finding themselves a danger of being cancelled, or indeed in one case, a Washington Post columnist already has been?
Yeah, you know, the number of people, this is such a good point, because these were, for the last, oh my God, decade more, all the people on the right were jeering at snowflakes who were cancelling people and they couldn't take criticism and they couldn't take a joke. There's nothing funny about this. And I completely agree. And I find it personally repugnant and disgusting that anyone would cheer Charlie Kirk's death. Whatever you think of his politics, he was a 31-year-old man with two small children. You know, I find it utterly repugnant. But I find that the difference is that when there, and you know, Steve Scalise, Cal, I'm glad you brought him up because it's a really good point. You know, he was a Republican, senior Republican in Congress, shot and nearly killed, suffered horrible injuries because some lunatic decided that he didn't want to take out Republicans. But the difference was that all of the Democrats came together, all of the Democrats in Congress universally condemned it. They absolutely condemned it. And the same with other right-wing attacks. There was no, you know, Joe Biden, when the attempt happened on Trump's life, came out and universally condemned it. There was none of this with J.D. Vance jumping on the airwaves using Charlie Kirk's podcast and Steve Miller in crazed calls for retribution and violence and let's go after the left, let's go after every left-wing person. You know, the Democrats just did not respond like that. And it's not a matter of whataboutism. It's a matter of that if Donald Trump did the job of leader instead of divisor, he would try and bring the country together and say the violence on both sides has to stop, because it does happen on both sides. But, you know, in this instance, as I say, there is no evidence that this 22-year-old was a Democrat or had left-wing ideology at all. There's just no evidence of it.
Okay.
So to lump him in with the Democrats is just, you know, it's so dangerous at a time like this.
Another listener says, any update on the Epstein files? One last one, Cal. Trump has filed a $15 billion lawsuit against the New York Times and also against Penguin Random House, partly motivated by a book written by two New York Times journalists, which is called Lucky Loser, How Donald Trump Squandered His Father's Fortune and Created the Illusion of Success. I actually went and bought it this afternoon in a store of solidarity for those reporters. How worrying is that, though, Cal, that this attack on the media is the sign of dictatorship? Fascism.
Well, Matt, first of all, Ronald Reagan never did this. He would joke with and he would point out some things that he didn't like, but he never sued anybody. And I don't think this lawsuit is going to go anywhere. Look, the New York Times has become a paper written mainly for New York City residents on the Upper East Side. It's not really a national paper anymore. Everybody knows its ideology editorially and on its op-ed page. There are virtually no conservatives in it. And it is what it is. So I think the suit is stupid. It's going to call more attention to the book, which I'm sure the authors are very happy about. And it provides a new strategy for me for selling my own books. I'm going to hire some people to burn mine in public.
Thank you very much, Cal Thomas. Marion McKeown.
The Last Word. With Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.